Is anyone here tonight? Praise the Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, if you didn't come in with it, then just stir yourself up. Listen, guys, it's time that we start being doers of the word. It's time that we stop being those whiny baby Christians. Listen, we need to just get over it. We need to get over ourselves. We need to get over the trouble. We need to get over the trial. We need to get over the nice days. Praise the Lord for nice days, but there'll be more of them. Praise God. Praise God for beautiful evenings, but there'll be more. And if there isn't this year, well, there's always next year. Praise God. Hallelujah. But we need to come in ready and willing and able to receive. Hallelujah. Because God's got good things. Now I know you're here and you're probably saying, well, Pastor Jeff, lay off me a little bit. But you know, this is the boldness that we pray about. Praise the Lord. You know, boldness is something that it's not always fun for a minister, but boldness is something we need, because I'll tell you what, when you're facing trials and when you're facing troubles, praise God, hallelujah, it's going to be boldness that's going to save you. It'll be boldness that gets you through. It's not going to be getting into your feelings in the emotional realm. You know, I've had enough of emotional Christianity, so much so that I could just puke. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, I have had enough of this emotional crybaby Christianity. What I'm talking about, I just listened to another song. You see, why, Pastor Jeff, why do you even listen to music anymore? Praise God. But I don't know either. But I turned on a song that I used to love. I just haven't listened to it in a while, and I don't know why it was stirring in me. So I put it on the YouTube, praise the Lord, and got it playing. Amen. And I was into it about 10 seconds, and I thought, man, this song ain't scriptural at all. Yeah. Praise the Lord. It's not. Yeah. It wasn't. It just wasn't. It was talking about everything that he don't have. It was talking about everything that he can't have, everything he might not have here. Praise the Lord. And it made me mad. And if you haven't been able to tell, I get fired up about it. And I get fired up about it because what it does is it makes people weak. It makes people, God didn't intend us, he said, I've not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. A sound mind doesn't always be confused, never knowing what to do, and power certainly isn't laying down, letting the devil walk all over you. Now listen, I know full well what it's like to have the devil come up to you. I know full well what it's like to be attacked. I know what it's like to have it, because the devil's always after me. Praise the Lord. But I ain't going to lay down and let him take me. I ain't going to let him have what he wants to have. Why? Because if I give it to him, then nobody's going to take it. Somebody's got to stand up once in a while and just take it. And so, listen, if this makes you mad, well, praise the Lord. I'm glad it does. Get over yourself and stir yourself up into faith, because faith is the only thing that's going to get you through anyways. Glory to God. I said faith is the only thing that's going to get you through. You say, well, how long does faith take? Faith takes as long as it takes to get to the other side. Until the mountain moves, you stand before it. You know, my daughter, she asked me, I think it was this morning, she said, you know, she said, Dad, if I really get before a mountain and I say move, will it move right then? You know, there's an attitude of faith that you go to the mountain that it's going to move right then. But if it doesn't move right then, that doesn't mean you back down and say faith don't work. It means you got to stir yourself up and you got to stand there until it does move. Praise the Lord. Because sometimes it just needs to see, sometimes it's a matter of who's going to move first. Is the mountain going to move or are you going to move? Most of the time, it's the people that are moving. I said, most of the time, it's the people that are moving. Listen, we can have our moments. I'm not saying don't cry. You can cry. Just don't cry in public. Don't be crying. Don't be coming to church sad. Don't be coming to church mad. Don't just come to church glad, because you know that you're going to get the word if you know. And if you don't know, well, I've told you enough, you should know. And if you don't know, if you still don't know, and you've been here for a while, then just start listening to me one of these days, and we'll get on over into what God's got for us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. I don't know about you, but I'm already ready. Praise the Lord. So we're ready for the word tonight. Glory to God. Tonight's message is called The Mind of Increase. Mind of Increase. You know, it's been interesting, because lately I've been kind of on a cat. I hate the over in the ditch prosperity message. You know, this prosperity message where people are constantly, you know, I used to get into this, but where people are constantly just thinking about their stuff, what they want, if you're constantly thinking about your stuff and what you want, what you haven't got, then child of God, there's a problem with you. Why? Because it isn't all about you. If you haven't, and if it is all about you, then you've just got suckered into the world's way of thinking, and you need to renew your mind with the word and find out it isn't all about you. Praise God. If you believe God, I'm going to tell you this. If you believe God on anything, he will take you through, because he's made you something But if you can't see yourself as what he has made you, then you're never going to have what he's given you. See, the promises of God are not automatic. I can't say this enough, but you can't show me in Scripture where it is, and I can show you many places in Scripture where it's not. Praise God. The promises of God are not automatic. Praise God. They come with faith and patience. There's two things that God loves. He loves faith and he loves patience. Hallelujah. He loves love too, but that love works in faith and patience. Amen. If you have patience, then you're not gonna snap on somebody so quickly. Amen. You're not gonna call them nasty words. Praise the Lord. I called somebody a nasty word this week, not to their face, but in my personal time. Yeah, I had a thought. You know what I mean? And I took the thought. But see, that wasn't walking in love, so I had to repent for that. Why? Because if we live nasty lives, then that's what we're gonna have. Is we're gonna have what a nasty life gives us. Amen. But if we want the life of God, if we want what God has, then we have to get in the Word, and we divide, rightfully divide the Word of truth, the Bible says. Remember, if the Bible says that you can rightfully divide the Word, it also means that you can wrongfully divide it. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians spend a lot of time wrongfully dividing it. What do I mean? They start coming up with man's ideas that aren't in line with Scripture, and they start, this feels good, or this thing. See, the whole problem is it doesn't matter how many times you tell people, and I go through this myself. You still have to deal with the flesh. You still have to deal with feelings. You are going to feel that something is a certain way or something isn't a certain way. When you're looking at the mountain before you, it's like it's not moving. I know how foreboding the mountain can feel. Praise the Lord. I have mountains in my life right now that have not moved. But what do? I still stand before them and say, you are going to move or else. One of these days you're going to move. And I might get a spoon if that's all I got and start digging at it. But sooner or later, that mountain is going to move. Praise the Lord. Because there is nothing, God said that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so I am going to do all things that I need to do through Christ who strengthens me. I said, I'm going to do it. That means I'm going to get up one more time. It doesn't matter how many times I get knocked down. It isn't God's fault. Praise the Lord. God isn't intending for us to be knocked down, but he knows that there's a devil out there who's going to try to. But see, the more that we give into the devil, the more we give into his thoughts, the more we're going to have what he has, and the less we're going to have what God has. Praise God. This is why God has us planting churches all over the place. It's because there's so much bad teaching out there that it's disgusting. I said it's disgusting. Jesus died so he could provide a way for us into all things that that God intended for us. Yeah. Praise God. And people still go with their stinking thinking. They get wrapped up in things that aren't the truth. They don't look into the epistles and see what God actually has. But today we're going to be talking about the mind of increase. Amen. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Praise the Lord. I want to start there. It says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. It just says it right there. Now some people will say, well, Pastor Jeff, that means spiritually rich. No, it doesn't mean spiritually rich, because if you look at the other scriptures around it, he is talking specifically about finances. He is talking specifically about finances. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to take this a step further. What God intended for us in being rich is more than just financial prosperity. Financial prosperity is the lowest, but God has intended it for us. Now, why don't all Christians walk in it? Well, there's a lot of reasons. If you're a bad steward, you will never see financial prosperity. I don't care how much you tithe. I don't care how much you give. I don't care how much you sow. If you're not a good steward, you will never see financial prosperity. What do I mean by that? If you're throwing money away and you don't know where it's going, praise the Lord. You're not being a good steward. If you don't know how to take care of what you got, you aren't getting more. God is not against his word. It's just the way that it goes. But Jesus died. He became poor, though he was rich. How do we know he was rich? Well, the Bible tells us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. What's in the earth? Well, so I was reading an article recently that was talking about all the, in the 70s, they did a study of all the material goods on earth, including everything from precious metals, the stones, and to lumber, to everything that's worth anything on earth, humans, all that stuff. And they added it all up, and it was somewhere around like in the decillions or something like that. It was a number that was so large that if you divided it amongst every person alive, they would be billion, multi-billionaires. Wow. Wow. Yeah, that's what's on the earth. But that's God's. Though he was rich, how did he become poor? Well, because when you're God, when you're living in heaven, and you have access to everything, and you decide to become a man, like a man, where you have to deal with human things, praise the Lord, then you're going to become poor. But see, where he became poor was really on the cross, is when he gave it all up. Because Jesus, throughout his life, see, some people say this is a scripture they try to use to make Jesus poor. But Jesus wasn't poor. How do we know that? It said, number one, the Bible tells us he did all things well. If you do all things well, you're not going to be poor. I've never seen somebody who, in fact, I've seen a lot of people do a lot of things wrong and they're still not poor. But if you do all things well, you're not going to be poor. If he was a carpenter, I'll tell you what, this day, that day, it doesn't matter. If you're a good carpenter, you do things well, you will never go without food. Never. But it didn't matter even if he went without food, because even if he didn't do all things well, he made food out of things that weren't food. Why? Because he was Jesus, and he did that. Hallelujah. But he became poor so that we, through his poverty, might become rich. Praise God. See, this is the first thing that we have to understand, and this is a mindset that Christians need to get in them. Number one, you are rich. Rich defines you. Rich is who you are. What am I talking about rich? Am I talking about billionaire Bill Gates kind of stuff? That's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about, really, when you look at the word rich, it means a full supply with enough left over to give into every good work. A full supply, everything you need. And as we're going to see in this, the mind of increase, it's about how we think. We need to see ourselves in line with the Word. I am the rich. Hallelujah. I am rich. I am full. I am the fullness. I am the very embodiment of what rich is. Hallelujah. Why? Because I'm a child of God. I am the very embodiment. Everything that I am expresses what rich is. Why? Because by His poverty, I became rich. Hallelujah. I didn't earn it. I didn't do anything for it. I became it. I said I became it. And so did you. I became it. You became. When you accepted Jesus, you became rich. You became full. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, that's pretty exciting, isn't it? Praise the Lord. We became rich. We are rich. We have a full supply. Everything we need is within us already. That's the way you can look at that. What do you need in life? It's within you already. Praise the Lord. All you got to do is bring it up. You got to start stirring your faith up. See, that's the problem that Christians have, is they don't stir their faith up. They don't stir up the things. They just sit there being sad about it. And see, that's a trap of depression. If you've ever gone through depression, this is something that I used to battle, and it still tries to come on me, but this is how I fight it, is knowing the truth of the Word. See, the battle of depression gets you thinking inwardly and not outwardly. It gets you thinking about just me, what am I dealing with? What am I sad about? What makes me unhappy? You know, we have made this society into a bunch of wussies, for lack of a better word. Or I have maybe better words, but I'm not allowed to use them. Hallelujah. But we have become a society of just, you know, it just makes me mad to see how weak people are. People, they have, I mean, we, you know, the World War II generation, called the last great generation, right? These people, I mean, they went across seas. They fought wars that we can't even imagine today. I'm not taking anything away from our soldiers. Our soldiers do a wonderful job, and they go through the ringer over there. I understand that. But I'm sorry, they didn't go through what they went through in World War II. Why? Because we're in the Iraq War, where we had several thousand men and women die, which is terrible. But in World War II, that would be one battle in one day, one afternoon, wiped out. I mean, they were watching people, the troops that were in that went into that were going into Germany. They weren't even prepared, because they didn't even expect. They thought the war was going to be over before the winter even hit. And these troops went out there, they were in the middle of winter, and they didn't even have winter clothes. And they couldn't even light a fire, because if they did, it let the enemy know where they were, and they were instantly shot. So they couldn't even light a fire. They would wake up, I've seen documentaries and shows about them, they would wake up in the morning, and they would see who was dead, because they would froze to death overnight. The buddy right next to them froze to death. You know, you have to understand that there was people went through horrible things. They went through and they persevered. And then they came back and they built this country. They came back and they, and I'm not saying it was all perfect. I'm not saying they were all perfect. But what I'm saying is they had something in them that would not quit. And I'm going to tell you, that something they had in them was a spirit given by God. Because God has not given humanity a spirit of weakness. He has not given humanity a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of a sound mind, praise the Lord. He wants us to be strong, powerful. He wants us to do all the things that we... When you look at these, you go through the Old Testament and you read about these people that were fighting battles in their 80s, glory to God. And you know, you have people today that are in their 50s and they look like they're in their 70s. They look like they're in their 80s or 90s. Why? Because they don't have that in them anymore. And see, that's a sad thing today. It's a sad thing to see that. We need to turn things back around and become who we are. I don't know why I'm on all that, but it was good. Proverbs 11:25. But see, we're talking about the mind of increase. It's very important that we have to understand that if we want to increase in the Lord, if we want to increase and prosper the way that God has intended us to, we have to understand that it first starts with a way we think. We have to have a mindset of increase. The first thing that you have to know is that you are rich. You are already rich. See, when the offering comes up, when it's time to collect for this work or that work or to do a new building program or do anything else that we're called to do, it should not be a thought on a Christian's mind, well, how am I going to do that? Or I can't do that. Or, oh, here's another one. If that's your thought, then you haven't got the idea that you're rich yet. You haven't understood. See, God doesn't, this is the thing that people don't understand. God does not supply before you use your faith. Now, he gives us grace to get us through. But God doesn't increase you beforehand. You say, well, people say, well, I can't afford to tithe. That's I love the phrase. It's bunk, junk, and hogwash. Why? Because if you tithe first, you can always afford to tithe. There is no excuse not to give the Lord what's his due. And he said that the tithe wasn't even enough. Actually, in the New Testament, we talk about the tithe and we talk about the offering. In the New Testament, we're supposed to give so free, and we're going to see some of this, but we're supposed to give without reservation. Hallelujah. Why? Because that's how God increases us. But people, they want to get just to the mark and not anything over. And then they wonder why God isn't increasing them more. Praise the Lord. Look at this. The generous soul will be made rich. Generous soul will be made rich. You know that word soul in the Bible, a lot of people misinterpret this, but if you look up that word soul in the dictionary, in the concordance, what you're going to see is that word soul means mind. That's the human intellect. Hallelujah. That word soul is not the same as your spirit. My wife is going to preach a message in the near future about the three-part nature of man. We are three parts to our nature. We have a body and we have a mind. We live in a body, we have a mind, and we are a spirit, praise the Lord. That's what we are. We are a spirit. But the soul, the generous soul, will be made rich. How can you say this? The generous mind, the one who thinks generously, will be made rich. The one who thinks generously. This is why I say tip your waitress is good. Why? Because when you tip a waitress good, even when she was bad, that's thinking generously. That's generous thinking. No, when you give above and beyond what is due or what is owed, when you give more, when somebody blesses you, when maybe it was right to give them $10 and you gave them $50 instead, that's a generous soul. Yeah. That's the one that'll be made rich. Yeah. Ain't the stingy person gonna be made rich? I'm telling you, if you're stingy in life, you got to think about this. It is not just about the church. It is in life. Yeah. If you are stingy to your spouse, praise the Lord, you are never going to be rich. If you are stingy towards people, you're never going to be rich. If you think stingy, you're never going to be rich. You got to get over that stinking thinking. The generous soul will be made rich. And he who waters will also be watered himself. You notice the order of things here, though. No, I can't say enough about the order, God's order. He who waters will also be watered. That means he who's not watering ain't going to be watered. If you aren't putting out, you aren't getting back in. If you aren't sowing, you aren't reaping. Hey, a farmer knows. If a farmer goes out, puts one kernel of corn in the ground, and he comes back in the mid-July, and he's like, wait a minute here. I have a whole field here, and I planted a kernel of corn. Why don't I have an abundance harvest? Because you didn't sow much. You see, it's a mindset of thinking. We need to think, what can I do? First of all, what can I do to increase others? What can I do to increase the kingdom? What can I do to increase out there? Because as you do that, when you bless people, see, that's what speaks to people. It also speaks to people when you're stingy. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. When some waitresses, their worst day, the day they hate the most, is on Sundays, because they know when the church crowd comes in, they're the ones that are cheapest. I've seen that before. I knew a man who was a millionaire, and he was he made money in the oil business. And he was, when it came to tipping or anything else, he wanted to spend the very least. He wouldn't even give what a waitress was due, much less anybody else. And see, that's why a failure will come. Praise the Lord. But see, some people will never walk into what God's intended for them, even though that He's paid for it already, because they don't get this, that the generous soul shall be made rich. It's a way of thinking. We have to remember, it's a way of thinking. How do you think? Well, you see, this is the thing. If you think that you're poor, you're always going to think with a poverty mindset. I know, because I come out of a poverty mindset. I still fight that poverty mindset. Sometimes I have to buy something more expensive just because I have such a bad poverty mindset. I'm not joking. Right? Sometimes I have to do something. Now listen, I am not advocating going out reckless spending. My wife and I are very, very budgeted people. Very budgeted. We know where our money goes, praise the Lord. That's why God increases us, because we know where our money goes. And we, you know what's funny? And then I'm going to tell you this. This is something real interesting. We found this through Pastor Tim teaching us, and through every year that we've taught it. Now two years that we taught the financial seminar. Almost every single time somebody says, there's somebody who's always crying about not having enough, almost every single time it comes back down to just being a bad steward. They just don't know what they're spending. There's people that have way more money than they think, and they're just wasting it in places. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's the truth. And you don't think about it. You mind if I use something you guys had told us about, just as an example? John and Liz had talked about, when they went through the financial seminar, they talked about how they didn't even realize it, but they would stop at, we used to do this too. They would stop at like a convenience store. And they just go buy some snacks real quick. They're going out for a drive or whatever they were doing. Just stop, and they'd spend $15, not even think about it. Well, you do that a couple times a week, and what do you got? Now you almost got a car payment, at least a cell phone payment. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But see, this is the thing. People don't think about where they're spending. They'll spend, but they're not directing it. They're not giving it purpose. And because they're not giving it purpose, it would be like a farmer just taking his seed and just kind of throwing some in the ditch, throwing some on the road, throwing some in the driveway, throwing some wherever where people trample over. That's the same thing people are doing. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, God's intended for us to increase. And why do I preach stuff like this? Well, number one, I want you to increase. But number two, I want the church to increase. Yeah, I want the church to increase. We shouldn't have to wait to do anything ever in the church. Do you know we've doubled? We've almost doubled in the past year. Doubled our congregation. Do you know what has not doubled? Our income. It's almost the exact same. That means somebody's not giving somewhere. I mean, somebody's not, now maybe some transferred out and some transferred in. I'm not saying that everybody, I'm just saying that I don't look at the specific numbers, but I know that much. Now, there's a problem with that. Because we can't get the work of the Lord done. And listen, I'm just going to be bold here tonight. We're here on Friday night. It's not Sunday morning. Nobody's new here. So I'm just going to be bold. I'm going to tell you this right now. If you don't like what I'm preaching, if it bothers you, good. Good. And if it bothers you so much that you feel you got to leave, then leave. Because that's your heart that you got to get in line. That's not my heart. My heart is to get people to increase. See, this is the thing. I came out of poverty, and I'm going further out of poverty because of what I was taught. And what I'm teaching you right now will save your life. That's why I'm telling you. There's a whole church full of people. I'm telling you, I've heard stories after stories after stories. People say, what are you doing for the poor? We don't hand out money in this church. Why don't we do that? Because that is not what God did. Jesus didn't hand out money. He fed people when the Lord showed him to, but what did he do? He taught them how to live, because when you teach people how to live, then they get out of it on their own accord. And see, when people put to practice the things that the Word says, then things happen. We're going to have that testimony Sunday. Praise God. And I hope that she, my wife, stirred in you even this morning. We shouldn't even have to be handing out the cards. People should be saying, "Let me give me some cards so I can give them to someone." Yeah. Praise God. You see, people don't think that way, but you have to understand that God wants to draw people in, and how He's going to do that is through the testimonies of the people in the church. Yeah. Wait a minute here. If their life changed, maybe my life has a hope. Praise God. Hallelujah. But see, this stuff doesn't happen for free. People, you know, they think, well, you know, if I throw my tip in the bucket, they think they're doing good. Well, listen, if you got little and your tithe is a dollar, well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about thinking right about the kingdom of God. People would rather go out and buy new toys than they would see the house of the Lord built or paid off. Oh, I'm not joking. I'm not joking. I have seen, and I learned this from my pastor because I watched him. I'll just use him as an example. I've watched him sow thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars all in one time, because he got blessed somehow. So he turned around and sowed it right into the building program, or sowed it into a new work. Why? Because he believed in what's going on. And see, when you believe, when you're connected. But it's a mindset. It's a way of thinking. See, if you think poverty-minded, you will never think, well, I can do that. Maybe, you know what? My wife said this week, and I love it because it's the truth. But my wife said, she's like, you know, giving isn't giving until it hurts. I said, giving ain't giving until it hurts. Until you've given up something, you haven't given anything. You until you've given up. Listen, God will restore. God will refund. God will do over and above. But we got to get to the point sometime where we're okay with hearing the truth about stuff like this. Amen. Because we can never get into the rich. We'll never have that manifest until we think right about the word, until we think right about our lives and what we're doing. It's the truth. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Proverbs 11:25. The soul, the mind, the generous mind will be made rich. Praise God. Now let's flip on down a little, couple chapters of Proverbs 23:7. And this is important to understand. Proverbs 23:7. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, you think, Pastor Jeff, well, I was one of the few that came out on that beautiful night and to get beat up on. No, the boldness in the pulpit will change your life. Listen, I don't get mad at my pastor preaching like this anymore. Why? Because it changed my life. It changed my life. Now listen, if I knew a way to, if you came in and you came to me and you had something and you needed something, had need of something, and I had the way of doing it and I didn't tell you, wouldn't I be wrong for that? You know, I'd answer to Jesus for that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I don't want to do that. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And I just want to focus on that part. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. You could say it this way. As a man or a woman thinks in their heart, so are they. That's what they are. Why? Because you will only do what you think. You will only do how you think. You will only do things according to the way that you think. How do I know this? That's why this church isn't full tonight. That's why people don't see the importance, because they think, well, you know what? They think, well, if it's more important to have a cookout than it is to be in church, or it's more important to go to this event or that event or do this and this. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I got people in this church that call me their pastor, that come here a few times a year, literally, and are so busy that they can't be in the house of God. Why? They don't think right. They think that it's more important to appease those things. They think that it's more important to do those things. Listen, this is the thing. Don't feel like people get funny about it. Because I talk about stuff like this, people get funny. And then they come up to me after, well, I wasn't here last week because of this. Or I didn't come this time because of this. I don't care. Like, I mean, from the standpoint of, like, you have to decide. But you got to understand, the reason I preach it is because until you get the fact that church isn't about me making you come, but you come because you get the word and you'll leave blessed. And if you put the word into practice, your life will change and you will have those things that you want. When you understand what church is for you, you won't say, hey, I wasn't here because of this. You'll say, I'm going to do everything I can to get there. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. It's the truth. See, that's the detriment that churches have made, because when they lost the power of God, then people stopped seeing the reason to come. And now we got to clean churches like us, got to clean up the mess. We got to go in and start sweeping out that stinking thinking, start getting people thinking right. Praise the Lord. Why? Because as a man or a woman thinks in their heart, so are they. The first part of having a mind to increase is realizing that God wants it for you. It's something He's provided for you. He wants it for you. Jesus, He wouldn't have sent Jesus to die. It was important enough for Him to give us a scripture like that by His poverty, we might be rich. It was important enough for Him to tell us that. That we have to understand that God wants it for us. He paid for it for us. Glory to God. You know, parents can understand this, I think. You do things for your kids, so your kids increase. And the kids don't always see it until they go out and they earn it or they've learned it. They don't always see it. They don't always understand. Wait a minute, this is why it's important to do this stuff. Until they face the trial themselves. Until they face the lack themselves. They don't understand. You know, I know my oldest son here, he's gone through that. He was, you know, working a job, decided he wanted to work, and he works hard, praise the Lord for him, for it. And he works full time, glory to God. But, you know, he has very minimal bills. And he was finding that what he was making wasn't enough and much less being able to go out and now listen, you know, he's increased. He's gone to a new job now, and he's increasing, praise the Lord. Why? Because he's faithful. Yes. Yeah, he's faithful, so he's going to increase, and he's going to continue to increase. So don't feel sorry for him, because he's learning, amen. But the point is that he's starting to learn. And I'm like, well, and I would say to him, I'm like, well, wait till you have children. Wait till you have a mortgage payment. Wait till you have utility payments. You know, people all the time, they're like, well, I don't have, but they have a lot of stuff. You see, this is, I went to a place where there was real poverty. You know, I was down in Rio de Janeiro with my pastor. I saw real poverty. There's no such thing as poverty in America. People here who cry because they don't have the latest and greatest iPhone or whatever. I mean, give me a break. I mean, if that's going to get you upset, if that's going to get you off, then you got a serious problem. You need a lot more than I'm going to fix tonight. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, let's look at this in the Old Testament. Genesis 12, 1. This is a promise. I love these scriptures because this is going way back to the Old Testament. You know, the Old Testament is very important to us. But we don't use the Old Testament without the light of the New Testament. In other words, we can't use the Old Testament without filtering it through the New Testament. Why? We're told that in Scripture, we're told that it's progressive revelation, that we need to get things through the light of the New Testament. That's why we don't blow shofars. That's why we don't have flags and weird kind of flag dancing and stuff like that in here. That's why we do things according to the way that we do them, because we do them according to the Word. You don't see flags. You don't see Paul using flags or shofars or anything else. You don't see it. So if he isn't going to use it, I'm not going to. I'm not going to waste my time. People, you get the name of Jesus, you don't need all this other garbage. You see, this is the thing. All this stuff is about distraction. See, all this stuff in the hyper churches, hyper whatever churches, it's all about distraction. Yeah, the programs, church programs, stuff like that. It's all about distraction to get people away from the Word. Well, we're going to preach the Word, let the Word stand on its own. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. He didn't even tell him what the land was. He said, just get out to the land that I'll show you. Now, I'm going to tell you something about this. This here right, sums up where a lot of people go wrong instantly. Lord says, get out away from these things that are comfort to you. Get out away from these things that mean something to you. Go where I'm going to take you, because I'm going to take you somewhere better. God's saying that every week. And people resist. They resist. They resist. They resist all the time. Why? Because that's it's in human nature. We have to fight against that desire to resist what God is telling us to do. Praise the Lord. That's why people are okay with so much of God, but not necessarily all of God. That's why some people will come in and they will flourish, and some people will come in and they'll stay the same forever. We got that in this church too. I don't like to see it. Praise the Lord, but it's the truth. We have people that come in and they just do the word and they start flourishing and lives start changing. Praise God. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean that you erase all the past instantly. You know, there's a time and place. So let it have time to work too. Amen. Which is fine. But see, God is always going to make us do things. God, you can almost guarantee this, that if it rubs your flesh the wrong way, it's probably of God. I mean, if you're seeking God and you want to do God's will and it makes you bothered in some way, if it pets your cat backwards, if it mows your field sideways, if it does what you don't like, it is probably God. I can tell you that right now. God is not, he has never, not one thing that he's had me do yet have I been comfortable with. He took a person who hated speaking in front of people and said, I'm going to make you a pastor. Well, praise the Lord. So I figured, well, I'll go out and pastor, and then the anointing of God will come on me, and it'll just be like that. And I went out to pastor, and I turned around, and I said, really, God, do I really have to keep doing this? And it wasn't enough for him to make me do it once, but then he said, go have another church. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to put you in a town where people need you, but people are going to reject you. Because he did the same thing everywhere we go. That's just the word, you know, they do it with Jesus too. People reject you all the time. My pastor always told me, I found out it's the truth, that people are always one sermon away from leaving you. That's the truth. Why? Because offense, we're going to preach on that on Sunday, but offense is a nasty bugger. It gets people and it gets them good. Hallelujah. You know how it gets in there. Well, how do I know? Well, because you'll get mad, hurt, or something about something I say at some point, and it's going to make you want to leave. Don't feel so special because all of us go through it. Praise the Lord. And if you don't say you won't, because you will. Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. But what is this hanging on? Doing what the word says. Doing what the word of God was. Go down there to this little church, to this town, and start preaching, and have one person show up, and then see how you feel. I'm serious. Like, sometimes, you know, you can have 10 people show up, or sometimes you can have one person show up. You don't necessarily know, and you do it on a Saturday night and start just before summer. That's a good idea, too. What are people doing on Saturday night? So I tell you, a lot of people aren't thinking about going to church, especially ones that haven't been to church, but we do the word anyways, while we're building a foundation. You know, I'm not coming down like on Corey or anything like that. There's a wonderful work happening there. Praise God, because God's doing big things. But see, this is how the mind works against what the Spirit is telling you to do. The Spirit tells you to do something, doesn't make any sense in the flesh or in the mind, but you go out and you do it anyways because he said. Why? Because you know that God has blessed you, he's made you rich, he's given you a supply if you do what he's telling you to do. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Everybody, woo, glory, hallelujah. Yeah, I like that. I want some of that. But you gotta obey the word. You can't do it aside from the word. The Bible says if we're hearers of the word and not doers of the word, we deceive ourselves. People say, oh, there are devils attacking you. No, the devil ain't attacking you. You're deceiving yourself, fool. Why? Because you ain't looked into the word. You ain't taken the word and started doing it. Amen? Praise the Lord. I said in Jamestown, some people really loved it. I said, I can't pray stupid out of you. I can't. There'll be people never come to church. They'll come to me in my ice wreck. Yeah, so, yeah, that's exactly what's going on. Yeah, I knew that. I could have told you that. I could have prophesied it without having the Spirit even come on me. Yeah. Why? Because I know enough of the Word to know that if you don't get connected, if you don't start getting connected, amen? Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. Yeah. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You're like, well, this is promised to Abraham. Yeah, but we're seed of Abraham according to the New Testament. We are the seed of Abraham. That means that what daddy got, the kids get. Yeah, Abraham can be my daddy. I'll be an adopted kid. I don't care about that. Listen, being adopted don't bother me at all. I'm adopted in. I'm grafted in. I'm a wild olive branch that's been grafted in, but praise the Lord for it. I'm just excited that somebody wanted me and somebody will help me flourish. I don't care what it looks like. Glory to God. I know I'm getting blessed. I'm adopted in. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran or Haran or whatever it is. Praise God. 75 years old. You think, man, I lived my life this long. God surely can't do anything with me now. 75 years old. Now, he lived a bit longer than we're going to live probably, but I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter. Old is old. Do you know what I'm saying? If you've been, like, listen, I'm not old. I'm only 40, but I'm going to tell you, a lot of things are different than when I was in my 20s. A lot of things are different. Amen? Praise the Lord. But it doesn't matter, because God will tell me to do something today, I'll still be blessed for it. Glory, hallelujah. God wants us blessed. But we have to have the mind of increase. See, you have to understand, why do we bring these scriptures up? Because God said, this is what I'm going to do for you. This is what I'm going to do to you. This is what I'm going to make you. In you, all the people of the earth will be blessed. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 9, 16, or 9, 6, I'm sorry. Probably recognize these scriptures. Praise the Lord. My wife, we don't confer on what I'm preaching and what she's preaching, so it works out good when we use the same scriptures. Right? These are the scriptures you're using? Yeah. 2 Corinthians 9, 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will what? Also reap sparingly. Will. It's going to happen. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will what? They're going to reap bountifully. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. And if you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. What's sparingly, what's bountifully? Well, that's going to change depending on the person, depending on what you have. Praise the Lord. You know, I can say this, though. I can say that whatever is pushing you to give is bountifully. Yeah, it's sparingly is not, like when you're sparing, listen, they have those change jugs at the registers and stuff like that, and you throw a buck in or something like that, that's not giving. That's here's some spare change. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, they say that sometimes at the registers, they'll say, hey, you want to round up your change to the nearest dollar for this cause or that cause? You know what I mean? That's not giving. You know, people don't go do that and then go, they're not going to get a mark in heaven because you gave 25 cents to, St. Jude's Children's Hospital or something like that, or whatever it is. You know, I don't know if that's even a thing. Did I mix two things? I don't know, but it doesn't matter. Ronald McDonald House, whatever you give to, the animal shelter, I don't care. You're not going to have a plaque in heaven because you gave 30 cents to that. Right. Praise the Lord. Does anyone think they are? Do we have to correct this? No. I mean, it might be a fine thing to do. I'm not saying, and it's smart to do. We have a change kiosk. Yeah, throw 30 cents in there every time you walk by. I don't care. Yeah. I want, that's what it's for. Do that. That's how we've got a couple grand in there over the last, you know what I mean? But see, it's not bad to do that. It's not, but if that's all you're doing, that is certainly sparingly. Yeah. Spare change, sparingly. Yeah. Amen? Bountifully. Now listen to, think about this. Think about sparingly, bountifully. Think if you were praying to the Lord and you said, Lord, my mortgage payment is, let's just pull a number out, my mortgage payment is $700 a month. And I only got $300 this month towards it. And you say, Lord, I need you to act bountifully to bring in $400. I mean, for someone to bring in $400 out of anywhere. Is there anyone here, you don't have to raise your hand, but is there anyone here who really, like, if they got $400 instantly, wouldn't be blessed by it? You know what I'm saying? Like, is there anybody here to be like, yeah, small potatoes? If it is, well, I know that our offering should be bigger then. So don't say anything, because, but there's nobody here that would think that if somebody walked up and handed them $400, probably jaw wouldn't hit the floor. You know what I'm saying? So that would seem bountifully. But say, you know, like, say you say, Lord, I really need this, and Lord sent somebody your way and gave you $5. And that's all that he was going to give. That's all he was going to send your way. Would you think, well, would you think that was bountiful? No. But somehow people think that when they give into a work, or when they sow into something. And listen, sowing isn't necessarily just finances either. It's even with time, it's even with ability, whatever it is. You know what I mean? But there's a lot of things, with prayer, there's a lot of areas. People want a great harvest, but they only go out and plant so little. They want a great harvest, but they're sparing. And they're saying, they think that they're doing a, but seriously look at it in your own life. Say, if somebody gave me $5, would I think, I mean, I'd be blessed by it. I'm not saying I wouldn't be, but would I think that's a bountiful gift? No, you wouldn't think it was a bountiful gift. I mean, I've seen people give thousands of dollars to people before. Yeah, I've seen somebody walk up to someone and give them like $1,000 before. That's bountiful. But see, here's the thing. For that person who gave it, might not be bountiful. Just because the number's big to everybody else doesn't mean it's bountiful. If Bill Gates gave $1,000, it wouldn't mean anything. Wouldn't mean nothing. Praise the Lord. Glory. Yeah, bountiful. Pastor Tim said this the other night, and I really like this. And he wasn't even preaching on these things, but he said this, and I loved it. He said, if you want a harvest season, you must have a sowing season. You are not going to have a harvest season without a sowing season. You are not going to have a harvest season. Why? Because he who sows sparingly reaps sparingly. He who sows bountifully reaps bountifully. People want God to change all their finances and take care of thousands of dollars worth of debt. And yet they sow just little bits. They're giving God tips. They're giving change. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, you gotta think differently about things, and you're not going to think differently if you don't see yourself the way God has made you. But see, you got to get into the right mindset of how do I give? How do I put out? It's got to be, you know, it's not a matter of if it's kind of like I love Christian church yard sales. This is why we don't do them. I don't know if somebody's asked me, maybe somebody has. If you don't get offended, if you did, if you get offended, well, we'll come back Sunday and I'll talk the offense out of you because we'll preach on that. But churchyard sales. I love churchyard sales. What are churchyard sales? That is a way for everybody else to clean out their junk. Yeah. Everyone I've ever seen, this is what they, we had a churchyard sale. I remember the youth group put it on or something in Jamestown. Got like 3 weed whackers. Not one of them worked. That's not a blessing. That isn't sowing. That's sowing sparingly. You understand what I mean? That isn't doing anybody any good. Listen, if your idea of blessing the church is bringing a junk weed whacker and giving it and say, well, maybe you could get it to work. If that's your idea of blessing the church, listen, just keep your blessing. Yeah. Why? Because we have to pay and do stuff to get rid of it. Yeah, I mean, this is the truth. That I've seen this 1,000 times. People, yeah, I'm not saying you can't make stuff or bless people with stuff that you own. I'm not saying that. We've given away stuff that's ours that's used. I'm not saying that. But I certainly wouldn't give somebody something that is garbage and say, well, here, you know, use it anyways. You know what I mean? And meanwhile, that person at home probably has like the brand new top of the line, you know, super awesome weed whacker. Well, why don't you keep and fix the broke one and give the good one to the church? Because you're giving to God. You aren't, listen, when you, and that's the other thing that people don't realize. When you come into church, when you bring yourself into church, when you bring your stuff into church, you're giving to God. You aren't giving to this ministry, you aren't giving to me. You're giving to God. When you sow into that, when you sow into God's people, you're giving to God. Why? Because he said, do all things as unto the Lord. When you sow to God, any way you sow, whether you're blessing your friend, whether you're blessing somebody who needs it in the church. Yeah, if the church, you know what they did in the early church? In case this will really make you mad. They sold houses and land and then brought the whole thing to the church and said, here you go. Give it to people that need it. Do what you need with it. Do you think that they may have needed the land. They may have wanted the land. They may have had the land for a purpose. I'm sure people do because people weren't much different then than they are now. Amen. So people, but that's exactly what they did. Why do you think that early church was blessed? Why do you think they had the signs and wonders? Because they cared enough to do something that was more than just piddling out little bits of whatever. Glory. Hallelujah. If you want a harvest season, you must have a sowing season. Your harvest season will be based on what your sowing season was. Pastor Michael preached along these lines back when he was here in November, and it was an awesome service. If you can go back in the archives and listen to it, you should. But it's the truth. People are planting little bits, and they're thinking, well, this is going to become a lot. But, you know, here's a little bit. Here's an idea. If you give $5 in the church, now I'm just using a number, just pulling a number out to most people, $5 wouldn't be a lot. Some people, $5 is a lot, so I'm not harping on that. But I'm just saying, in most people's standards today, I mean, you go to Starbucks, you spend $5 on one drink. Easy. I did the other day. You know what I mean? And I even felt a little bit bad about doing it. You know what I mean? I remember you will buy a whole lunch for $5. You certainly can't do that anymore. So $5 isn't a whole lot in general standards. But people they'll come give, you know, they'll sow in $5 and they'll think that's being a blessing. And yet they'll go out and they'll have a hobby that costs hundreds or thousands of dollars. It's the truth. Praise the Lord. Where's the amens? Hallelujah. I mean, it's the truth. People will, it's like I said the other, how about taking on an extra job to fund something in the gospel? Yeah, I mean, I'm serious. It matters what we do, praise the Lord. It matters how we think about it. See, it's a mindset, because God had a mindset that he gave without reservation. He gave without thinking about why, because he knew who he was. And he said, this is who I've made you, so you can give without reservation, so you can increase without reservation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I love this next verse, verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. You shouldn't feel like you have to give. And please, my wife said this, and I'll say it too. You don't feel it. We teach these things not because we're trying to make you, not to coerce you into doing something. I'm trying to help you. And this is something else that I have to say in messages like this, because it just bears repeating. If you don't trust me, like if what I'm preaching bothers you so much that you don't trust me enough, then maybe you need to find a different place where you trust somebody. Because if you've been here, especially if you've been here any time, if you think that I stand here week in and week out and do the things that I do simply because I'm trying to get rich, then you are the biggest fool I've met in a long time. Because there's no truth to that whatsoever. I am not trying to increase my pocketbook. I am not trying to make me bigger. I am not trying to expand my kingdom, glory to God. I'm trying to get the kingdom of God to look like the kingdom of God should. Praise the Lord. Why? Because God said it. Jesus talked more about finances than he did heaven and hell combined. He talked more about finances than he did heaven and hell combined. Why? Because he knows that if you can't get to a person's wallet, you can't get to their heart. Because where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Praise the Lord. I love my wife. That's why I sow into my wife. That's why I give her. When we were talking about this the other day, there is nothing my wife could ask me for that I won't say, go ahead and get. Nothing. Why? Because I love my wife that much. There is nothing. We will figure out a way to do it. If it's important to her, we are going to do it. We will figure out a way to do it. Why? Because I love her, and that's what the way it is. If you love God, it's the same way. What does God need? What does God have need of? So let us, each one of us, give as he purposes in his heart. Now, people take this out of context and they think, well, I just don't purpose to. No, you're supposed to purpose to. This is the mindset of a giver. You purpose. You do it on purpose. You purpose the purpose. You say, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to be a bigger giver. I'm going to be. Listen, you know what? People are using their faith to get their needs met, and the whole time God's saying, use your faith to give more. When was the last time people went before God and got down on their knees and said, oh, Lord Jesus, I love you so much. Show me how I can give more. Move more into my life so I can give more, so I can increase the church more, so I can increase the people of God more. When do people do that? See, it was only when I started doing that my life even started increasing. When we couldn't focus on our own stuff anymore. That's when we moved into our house. That's when our finances started working out. That's when we paid off debt, was when we stopped focusing on us, when we stopped praying for everything for me. Listen, the Bible says that if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added. They will be added. You won't even ask for them. They'll just come. I have stuff that just comes. Why? Because God loves me. And I love God. Hallelujah. I purpose to give. I purpose to be a bigger giver. We say, you know why we keep track of what we give? So we can give more next year. Yes, absolutely. It's a challenge to us. We want to give more to the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you this. We gave my entire paycheck, or almost the whole thing, this last year. More than my entire, everything that I make, we gave more than that this year. Yeah, absolutely. We're not independently wealthy. We don't got tens of thousands of dollars in the bank account. Praise the Lord. But God supplies our needs. Why? Because we give to his. And see, I couldn't preach this stuff unless I'm a doer of it. But I'm a doer of it. Why? Because I know what it does to God, and I know what it does to my family. I know what it does to my church. I know what it does to those around me. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I am not exaggerating. Every penny, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Wow, he's just after money. And God is able. Why? Because he loves a cheerful giver. Then God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for what? For every great vacation that I'm ever going to want. I'll have an abundance for every house, every toy that I'll ever want. So I have abundance for every good work. This is exactly what I'm talking about. See, those who water get water. The Bible tells us that. We already covered that. So we know that that happens. But our first and foremost, the mindset of increase, if you want to increase, your mind of increase, your heart has to be towards the things of God. You say, my heart is so I can give into every good work. What's every good work? That's anything that the pastor can dream up. Praise the Lord. Anything that the Lord lays on my heart should be taken care of like that. Why? Because it has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with what we're called to do. Praise the Lord. I said this before. I'm not going to have a cheap church. I refuse to. I'm not going to have a church that's falling apart. If we have to do it ourselves, we'll do it ourselves. But we are not going to have a church that looks like every other dumpy church around. Why? Because that doesn't glorify God when people drive by and paint's peeling off the building. This building needs to be finished. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I get fired up about it, but this building is not done. The outside is not done. It needs to be finished. I don't care if you like it or not. If you don't, go down the road, we'll find someone else who will. But this building is going to be finished by my faith. Praise the Lord and our money. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, 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 having all sufficiency in all things, have an abundance for every good work. People are waiting for it to come in. They're saying, wait, you understand, you can't write bad checks. I'm not saying that. But you know what I'm saying? People are waiting for the abundance to happen before they give the sparingly. But he wants you to give the abundance when you have, when it's on your heart. How is it going to happen? If we have to trickle in, Lord, what's on our heart? Go before God. Praise God. And he's never going to tell people. I had somebody tell me once. It was a husband and wife couple. There was so much on their heart. They wanted to give to this one, whatever it was we were doing at the time. And one had one number on the heart. And the other had another number on their heart. And the one number was bigger than the other number. So you know what the one said? Well, let's go with the smaller number. Do you know what I'm saying? Like maybe it was like one said $50 and one said $100. And the one said, well, let's go with the $50 then. That's sowing sparingly. Yeah. Why? If we have a number on our heart, we go with the bigger number. Amen? Yeah. Why? Because that's what God wants. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Did you guys do that? Yeah, there you go. Praise the Lord. I like that. Glory, hallelujah. Yeah, praise God, hallelujah. But I know how it is, you know, like I know what it's like. But see, this is the way. God has intended this, and this is the thing that we forget when we're hearing a message like this. God has intended this to make us rich. This is how the people of God increase. This is why the people of God don't increase. Why? Because the numbers just don't add up. People give to everything out there. They'll give to the football boosters. They'll give to the Girl Scouts. They'll give to this and that. Why? Just because you get cookies, you get better stuff than cookies here. Yeah. Hallelujah! And you'll get cookies too if you stay around long enough. There's always cookies out there. If we never had not had cookies out there, and coffee, praise the Lord, glory, hallelujah. You get the cookies too. Just sow into God. And glory, hallelujah. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower, oh my gosh. See, this is where we're getting. This is good stuff. Now he who supplies seed to the sower, who gets the seed? What does the sower do? They sow. Well, who doesn't get the seed? The one who doesn't sow. The one who never, the one who holds back. There's a scripture that says there's one who withholds more than is right, and it leads to poverty. It's probably a psalm or a proverb. Sounds like it, right? Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, so you can take care of all you need, supply and what? Multiply the seed you have. Yeah. Is there anybody who ever invests in something? Has anyone here ever invested in anything and you invested with the purpose of not getting more? Have you ever put money in the bank with the hopes that they wouldn't give you any interest? Well, it's awfully quiet in here. Now, have you ever done that? Have you ever invested in something and said, you know, I hope this decreases instead of increases? Supply and multiply the seed. He's going to supply the seed if you're willing to sow it. There's somebody once said this, and I love it. He said, if he can get it through you, he'll get it to you. God, that's the way our God works. If you get it through you, he'll get it to you. In other words, if you won't hold on to it, he'll get more than you can hold on to. Hallelujah. Multiply the seed you have. So you think, oh, I know what you're thinking. Well, this is word and spirit, Pastor Jeff. Well, how is this word? Because if people get this right, yeah, it opens doors for all the other stuff. Supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Oh, glory. The fruits here. I love this because I looked that word up. He's going to increase the fruits. That word fruits, this is part of the definition. That which has been born. That which has been born. That which has been born. He will increase that which has been born by your righteousness, of your righteousness. Praise the Lord. He's going to increase it. What comes from your righteousness, from us being righteous and doing the will of God? What comes? It's God's floodgates open up. That's where God pours into our lives. Because see, it's not just finances that he gives back. It's not just, it's all the things that we need. It's the peace, it's the joy, it's the love, it's the victory through the breakthrough for the trial that we need to get through. Hallelujah. You can sow yourself out of problems. Yeah. Look at this. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving to us through God. Praise the Lord. You're getting a word here tonight, and I know it's hard to hear this kind of stuff sometimes, but I'm going to tell you what. I have something for somebody tonight, and they're not even here. It's like without fail. And this person I know has no good reason for not being here. I'm not going to tell you how I know. I just know it. But I have something that the Lord wants to deliver to them, impartation, and they're not here to receive it. If you guys get hold of this message that's being preached tonight, it will change your entire life forever. You will never lack a day in your life. I can promise that. While you're enriched for everything, for all liberality, which this is the purpose of it, causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of the service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. Why? Because when people get blessed by you, when the church gets blessed by you, it's like I said, somebody sowed into these seats. These seats weren't given to us. Somebody paid for them. Somebody physically, out of their pay, paid for them. Somebody sowed into these walls. Somebody paid for that. These walls have enabled this church to double in size. That wasn't going to happen in the other building. That wasn't going to happen otherwise. It happens through it being paid for. Amen? Praise the Lord. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's so good. Ephesians 1:17. See, we talk about this, but this is what we need people. This is what we need people to get. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. What is that? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him is the truth that is spoken through the word, the truth that you hear. It is that being opened up into you and changing you in such a way that says, yes, this is my mind now. The mind of God is my mind. The mind of Christ is my mind. I take his mind, his thoughts upon me, so I'll do things his way, and that's how we prosper. May give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. See, he wants you to get something, and this is what he wants you to get, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. There is an expectation. Remember that word hope is expectation. There's an expectation for his calling. There's a certain expectation you should have as a child of God. You say, wait a minute, this isn't right. Lack comes against you, this isn't right because I'm a child of God. I expect more than this. I expect more than this. No, devil, you can't bring this because I expect better than this. See, when was the last time you stood on your tippy toes and shouted back at the devil and said, no, I expect more because I'm a child of God. I have this revelation. You need this revelation, hallelujah, because this is the only way that you get through the other side. When the trial comes, I expect. Expect more. Where's your hope? You need the hope of his calling. See, God, when God's called you, he's given you an expectation, and that expectation is that he isn't going to leave you flat. He isn't going to leave you whooped. He isn't going to leave you without. He's going to take you higher. He's going to take you all the way through. He's going to take you in. Glory. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? In any family, you should have an inheritance. The Bible says that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. That don't happen anymore. Not very often. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But what are parents doing? They're going out and doing stupid things with it. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? Exceeding greatness of his power toward us who actually believe this stuff. That means that the exceeding greatness of his power is not working in those who do not believe it. Which is why you don't see it. According to the working of his mighty power. Glory, glory, glory. Well, you know, we're getting down close to the end here. But I want to pull these up. Go ahead and flip there if you want real quick. Psalm 115:13. Just a couple more scriptures, I promise. Moses ain't going to have to come in. Praise the Lord. Saying, let my people go. Hallelujah. Psalm 115:13. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both great, small and great. Remember that word fear is not the same word fear that we, it's reverence, a reverential fear. I mean, it's like you would want to please your dad. You want to please those who mean so. You want to please your spouse. That's what a reverential fear is. He will bless those who reverence the Lord, both small and great. Doesn't matter who they are. May the Lord give you increase more and more. You and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth, look at this, but the earth he has given to the children of men. There's a scripture that says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, but this Bible, this scripture tells us that he's given us that. Remember what I was telling you about all that money? All that gold, all that silver that's out there? Belongs to the children of men, the children of men. The dead do not praise God, praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence. So what is that saying there? It means that if you're whooped, if you're defeated, if you go without, if you're just dead, if the devil takes you out, they don't praise God. He wants his name being praised. Yeah, that's right. Didn't we just read that there in Ephesians about how it brings praise to him when we're generous? Yeah, why? Because that's what blesses God. Hallelujah. But the dead don't praise the Lord. So it didn't do God any good to have us dead. Do you know what I'm saying? God, the people who are dead aren't causing increase on the earth. Praise the Lord. Okay. Last scripture, I promise. I'm just going to have you look at it up here. 638. It's a mindset. It's a mindset. It's a way of thinking. We have to think generous. We have to think more. We have to think in every way, where can I increase somebody? Where can I be a blessing? It will carry through in all areas of your life. And if you're cheap, it'll carry through in all areas of your life. Praise the Lord. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now see this, we always use this for just giving financially, but it covers so much more than that. Yeah. Give, and it will be given back to you. Do you give of your time? Do you give of your thoughts? Do you give of your prayers? Do you give of yourself for the things of God? However you measure, whatever you use to measure, if you're tipping the scales, if you're using faulty weights, Remember back in the day when they had those two scales? Sometimes they'd use faulty weights so they could rip people off. If you're using faulty weights so you can look good, but you're ripping people off, praise the Lord. Jesus said that the widow gave more than the people who were given tons and tons and tons. The amount doesn't matter. That's why I hesitate to use, like, when I say $5, because if $5 is a great sacrifice for somebody, then that, praise the Lord, it is. But it isn't a great sacrifice if you drive a brand new vehicle. I'm telling you right now, $5 isn't a great sacrifice. If you have a house, if you own a house, $5 is not a great sacrifice. Why? Because it takes more than that to supply those things. Amen? Praise the Lord. If you have a family that you support, $5, not really a great sacrifice. Yeah, I mean, it's just, you understand. You can, there's always, well, praise God, hallelujah. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Is your heart and mind that of a giver? That is what determines your measure. Am I a giver? Ask yourself that. Am I a giver? Do I bless people? Do I look for opportunity to sow into other people's lives everywhere I go? Do I look for opportunity? Listen, part of the love, the whole love chapter, is not seeking your own. Doesn't mean, it means you go out there, you don't have to have your own way all the time. If you have to have your own way all the time, then you're not a giver. Why? Because somebody who has their own way isn't given, they're taking. I said they're taking. You don't have to have it your own way. That's a problem, one of the biggest problems with the church. Why do people get offended at churches like ours? Because they want things their way. Well, Pastor, I thought we should do things their way. Too bad. I don't care if you thought that way. God didn't put you there. God didn't lead you. God didn't raise you up. God didn't use your faith to start the church. So he ain't going to use you to determine everything I'm going to do. Praise the Lord. It's just the truth. You might as well just swipe it clean right now. I get mad when people, and it doesn't happen so much here, but sometimes, you know, you have people come in, well, you need to do things this way, and you need to do things this way, and you didn't do this like them, and you didn't do this like that. Well, I don't care. Did it work for them? Well, this is working for me, praise the Lord. What do I mean this is working for me? Well, I know that I'm in the will of God. I know that people are getting blessed. I would know if we'd been here 3 years and we couldn't have a testimony Sunday, there'd be something wrong with it. But I'm going to tell you what, you're going to wait and see, and you're going to be shocked, and if you don't bring somebody in, shame on you. Shame on you. Do everything you can to bring someone in, because they need to hear it. They need to hear how lives have changed. They need to hear how cancer has been healed. Praise the Lord. They need to hear how addictions have been broken. They need to hear how marriages have been restored and set on a new course. Hallelujah. The people out there need to hear it. Praise God. Praise God, hallelujah. Well, that's all I got for a message, but I wanna do something. Go ahead and stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God, hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. And I want you to repeat after me.
He will increase me.
Even as I am increasing the church. He will increase me.
Even as I increase others.
I increase every day. Because I am a blessing
to the kingdom of God
and his people.
Praise the Lord.
You need to start confessing. When you wake up in the morning, you need to say, I increase because I increase. You know what I'm saying? I increase because I increase others. Praise God. And then look for opportunities. Look for opportunities to be a blessing to somebody. Look for somebody. Listen, if you have the ability and you're standing in line and you see a mother going through line with little kids and you can buy their groceries, even if it's tough for you, a little bit tough, but you can do it, buy their groceries. And say, you know what? The Lord put this on my heart to do it because I serve a good God. And then you use that opportunity to speak to people, because it's that. When you put your money where your mouth is, that starts speaking to people. I'll tell you what, we've learned this over and over and over again, but when you sow even just a little bit into people, I've had people in lines at Dollar General before, and they were starting to take things off their order because they didn't have an extra $10. And I said, well, I'll cover that. And they couldn't believe that someone would do that. Why? Because the world isn't doing that. The world is about me, 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 me. But if you're a child of God, you're about others. Look where you can believe. And you don't do this just so you increase. You do this because you want to see people helped. Because you want to see people saved. And I'm going to tell you what. You watch how God works in your life. He gives seed to the sower. And if you start sowing, he's going to start giving you seed that you can't even do anything with. You're going to have seed running over. You're going to be saying, hey, buddy, come over here and take some of my seed because I got too much seed. I can't even store. It's going to go bad. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That's the way our God is. Our God is an increased God. He is an ever-increasing God, and we need to have a mindset, a heart of increase. Hallelujah. Look at your spouse, and not right now, but look at your spouse sometime and start looking into their lives. What do they want? What do they need? And start sowing into those things. I don't care if it's just they want a certain kind of affection, then give them that affection. If it's a certain kind of blessing, give them that blessing. If it's a ring, give them a ring, glory to God. If it's a whatever it is, you look and see where you can give. And then the other spouse, you do the same thing. And guess what? Nobody ever goes without. Nobody will ever go without. Let's say this again. He will increase me, even as I am increasing the church. He will increase me, even as I increase others. I increase every day because I'm a blessing to the Lord. Hallelujah. Now you got to do it. You got to do it. Praise the Lord. If you don't do it, it ain't going to happen. You can say that all you want, but if you aren't a blessing to God, then you look to be a blessing to God. How do you be a blessing to God? Well, you try to outdo him. What did he do? He gave you everything. He gave you his son. He gave you absolutely everything. So you do everything you can to give him everything back. And you watch. You'll never go without.